And if you have a King James Bible, read with us. If you don't, why, just read along with us. Why don't we stand and we'll read the first 13 verses. I'll read a verse, then you read a verse, and we'll do so up through verse 13. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am.
And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off.
And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together.
And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together.
And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son.
And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Let's pray. Father, we come to worship you and to praise you and to thank you for all of your rich blessings. We thank you for the word of God that we have in our hands and that you teach us by it. And Lord, we live by your word. We thank you for it. I pray, God, you'd help me to teach this morning as best I can, and may your Holy Spirit take your word and put it into our hearts and minds, that we may live for you and bring you honor and glory. Forgive us where we fail you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Look back at the chapter before, chapter 21, and it says in verse 32, I just want to read the last three verses, and they made a covenant at Beersheba. And Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. You know, he's in the land God promised him right now. That's where he is. He's there as a guest, actually, of Abimelech. And Abimelech told him, you just take whatever part of the land you want, whatever you need. You might have heard of open range. It was practiced a lot of times here in the States. In a lot of lands, people would live at a certain place, and the range was open for whoever's cattle that was there, and when they rounded them up, they had to divide them up as to who they belong to. And then as it got more and more crowded and people began to fence off lands and hold people away from it, they didn't like the open range. They wanted it all. Well, the Indian had open range, you see. And the German and the Englishman and the Irish, they wanted that spot of land that belonged to them with a deed and a title to it and fences on the outside of it so you didn't get to eat their grass. But that's what he was doing. And you understand, this is a very rich man with big herds, great big herds, a lot of money, a lot of servants, a lot of people. And when his flocks came through, they cleaned the land off. He'd have to move them at different times to keep them going. But you notice what he did. He worshiped the Lord there, and he planted a grove. You don't plant a grove if you're just going to stay a place 1 year. You wouldn't plant a grove. I understand olive trees take about 40 years to mature. So you don't plant an olive grove for yourself. You plant it for your son or your grandson. And so he's planting a grove. That means he's staying here. He's moved into where God told him to be, and he's staying right there for a good amount of time. And so it said he lived, sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Now, that just finishes up that chapter. We're going to talk about Isaac as a type of Christ. Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with types, but there's some preachers that just love to preach types. They make everything a type. And I've had my share of them, and I'm not that much. I've got to have a verse in the New Testament that says it's a type, or I won't accept it as a type. You can holler at me all you want to. How good the type is, how wonderful it is, and how you see all of this in there. But as far as I'm concerned, unless the New Testament mentions it, it is not a legitimate type of Christ. Okay? Now, what is a type? It's some event, something occurred in the Old Testament that points forward to the salvation of God through Christ, or points to Christ. Now, if you don't have that New Testament reference, don't call it a type. Don't try to make this means this, this means this. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. And I don't want you making the Bible say anything it wants to say. You will let the Bible say what it says. You take the Bible as for what His words are. You don't make it new words. Don't make it your way. You let God have His way. You let the Word of God stand what it says. Now, good examples of a type. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Now here's a type, and it's a legitimate type, and here we are in the New Testament, and Paul is writing, and he says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul." Now he's quoting that from the Old Testament, Genesis 4:8. He's quoted Genesis 4:8, and he said, Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now that's Christ. Christ is the last Adam. So what is Adam? Adam is the type of Christ. You've got a legitimate reason to say this is a type, and it's something that in the Old Testament will give you a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ or some effect of His salvation. Okay? All right, look, if you will, at John 3:14. 14 and 15, John 3:14 and 15. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Then here's your maybe the best known verse in the Bible, or the New Testament at least, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So what are verses 14 and 15? As Moses, he's quoting the Old Testament. In fact, he's quoting Numbers 21:9. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You remember, the children of Israel got into sin. And God sent fiery serpents. Now, I don't know whether they were red and had streams all over them that made them look like flames, the serpents, or whether when they bit you, it stung like fire. I'm not sure why they called them fiery serpents, but that's what they're called in the Old Testament. Well, now, what happened in that? Well, people are dying. These things were poisonous. And if you were bit, you were dead. Unless God said, he went to God for a remedy, Moses did. God said, make me a serpent of brass. Make me an image of this snake that's biting you. Put it on a pole out there, and anybody that goes and looks at that pole will live. Well, that's strange, isn't it? It really is. All you got to do is look and live. You heard that song? We haven't sung it in a while, but we can sing it again. Look and live. Look and live. All right, well, that's a picture of the salvation we now have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's so simple. It's so plain. People say it's too simple, too plain. No, it's just exactly the way God wanted it. Look and live. As Moses lifted that serpent up in the wilderness, even so must Christ be lifted up. That whosoever sees him and believes on him and calls on him will be saved. What do they have to do in the Old Testament to not die? Just look. They had to believe that message, walk to the center of the camp, and look at that thing. And they'd live. And many lived. And it took care of the problem of the being bitten by sin. So it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ there in John 3:14 and 15. You know this is a type. It is a legitimate type honored by the Holy Spirit of God through his apostles. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. All you had to do was believe and go do what he said do. Look at that brazen serpent. Now those are, we could go through, there are many types. There are many types. But for it to be a legitimate type that you can actually use, you need to find a New Testament verse for it. Like I did for these two for you. Alright, now going back to chapter 22. The reason why I'm getting into this, because Isaac is a type of Christ. And we're going to read and take a look at a few things. But Isaac is a type of Christ. This man, Isaac. And Mount Moriah, I'm thinking that's Calvary. Somebody might correct me. I didn't look it up. I didn't correct myself. I didn't check myself. But I'm thinking that God had Abraham take Isaac all the way to Mount Moriah, which is Calvary in Jerusalem, right outside of Jerusalem, and offer him there. That's how much of a type I think it is. You can check me out on it. If you want to prove me wrong, that'd be fine. I've been wrong before. No, never. I was just fooling you. Okay, and it come to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. You ever been tempted by God? I bet you have. Time or two. God's made you do some things. God has put you in a tight spot. You ever been there? Seems like ever since I got saved, I've been there. It's taken me through some things. And he didn't tell me beforehand what he was going to do. And he didn't tell me what I'm supposed to do. He left it up to me to see if I would follow him. He left it up to me to see if I would look in the Word and find the answer. Or if I really wanted to please him or not. God has tested me a few times. And finally, one big test after a period of about 5 years, I knew who was boss. You ever figured it out? If you ever figure it out, it'll help you out a whole lot. Who is boss? It's not me. I figured it out. It's not me. God took me through and just kept humbling me for a period of about 5 years in my life after I thought I'd done the will of God. And he said, what are you going to do about this? And I had to make those decisions. Same way, started this church. Got about 40 people coming. I just want a few more people supporting missions besides myself. I was the only one in here supporting missions. $120 a month, $20 to six missionaries each. And so I have a mission conference. I didn't plan on being a missionary church. That was not my goal. I planned on being an evangelistic church. That was my goal. And God has 10 people surrender to the mission field out of my little 40. What am I going to do? I'm telling you, God's giving you a test. Okay, if I send them all back to the Baptist for support, well, they'll make Baptist out of them. And if I send them up to Dallas Theological Seminary, well, they'll Greekify them all. They'll all be correcting the Bible every time they get up. What am I going to do? Well, you're a trained teacher. You've been a preacher a long time. You've been a full-time evangelist, faith evangelist. You've been a full-time missionary. You teach them. Boy, that's audacious. You talk about some opposition right inside the little congregation. Opposition. What are you going to do? I'm going to do just what I said I was going to do. Then come time to support them. How are we going to support them? Well, the Baptists don't want to support my missionaries. They don't have the Baptist name. Nobody else wants to either. They don't know anything about us. They haven't got a clue. How are you going to send them to the mission field? Well, you pray and you pray and you say how and how and how, and then we'll just send them. And my best supporter for years walked out on me. You're expecting me to support all those missionaries. No, I'm not. I'm expecting God to. No, you're expecting me. Psh, there he went. We stayed friends all his life, but he thought he was going to be the one having to support them all. Which one of you supports them all? I support all of them. Every missionary that's gone out of this church, I supported as long as they were a missionary. And everyone that's out of this church right now, I support every month. Some of you do too. Or they wouldn't be there. But what are those? Those are tests. God comes along and gives you a blessing and a problem. How are you going to handle your problem? Are you going to handle it by faith? Are you going to handle it by principles in the Word of God? Are you going to run to the world for help? You're going to have pony rides to get everybody into Sunday school so you can get more offerings. You're going to have ball games. Are you going to have feed everybody donuts and coffee? We just have a big time. No. What are you going to do? That's what he's doing with Abraham. And that's what he did with me with this church. Still doing it, I think. God is going to test what you're going to do. And, okay, you're not a pastor like me, and you haven't had to make these decisions, and you're enjoying, I think, some blessings from this church. But God's got some tests for you. When your kid gets out of line. When she wants to wear skirts that are too short for her or anybody else. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Lindo. Praise the Lord. You mothers, I can't believe you that you let your little daughters growing up in teenage years wear next to nothing. They might as well come in bathing suits. And some of the bathing suits today wouldn't make a good handkerchief if it's all tied together. Amen? Amen. I don't like you. That's all right. I don't like you either. I love you just as well as if you were my own.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. We need to take some stands. We really do. I realize this Hollywood thing, this sex thing. Do you know what? They are having breast implants to kids that are still in high school. Lots of them. Lots of them. Their parents can afford it. Well, what do you want those breasts sticking out? You're not ready to get married yet. Hold on a little while. You're just putting a target on your back for all those hairy leg boys. You know what those boys are after? They're after sex. Tell you what, I didn't let my daughters dress like everybody else. And they might not have been the most popular girls in their school either.
Amen. Amen.
And in fact, I met a few boys that came by to visit my daughters. And I went out in all my grease and my overhauls and whatever and told them what I expected. Some of those boys didn't want to tangle with me. You know, I told them, I said, I survived prison before, I can do it again. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever works. If it works enough to put a little scare in them, that's all right. Because they need a scare. And in this generation you and I are living on, good night. You don't even need pornography. You got television and you got the internet. It's everywhere. Bless our hearts. And your little girls, they just want to be loved. They just want to be desired. And they don't really understand the consequences of it getting there too quick. Bless your hearts. You're getting tested all the time. Now, Abraham got a test, a bigger test than anything I've ever seen. I've said many times, God gave his son for your soul. I wouldn't give any one of mine for your soul.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't love you that much. God loved you that much, but I don't love you that much.
Amen.
Now, he said, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Don't you think he loved him? He's about 17 or 18, something like that. He's old enough to carry the wood. He's old enough to have resisted a 120-year-old dad. He carries the wood, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And I think that is where Calvary is. I'd have to look it up again, but that's in my mind at least. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. You ever thought about this? I don't know anybody ever had a test bigger than that one. Do you? Can you think of anything? I can't. Yes, Abraham is to be honored because I don't know how he did it. Well, I do. I've got a verse in the New Testament I'm going to read to you. But he did it. He did it. And this time, it was by faith. I mean, he messed up with Ishmael. He listened to his wife, and Hagar might have been a very beautiful young lady. And so his own desires might have got into that. But whatever, he lost big time when he had to give up that son. That was his son. And he wanted God to let Ishmael be the one. God said, no, you're not messing with me. You know, you just quit trying to change God's plans. Why don't you just find out what they are and live with them? You'll be a whole lot better off. You will be a whole lot better off if you just find out what does God say. I don't care what you think he means. I've heard a lot of preaching on what God means. what the Word of God means. I don't want you telling me what it means. I want to know what it says. Do you understand the difference? If you don't understand the difference, then boy, you're going to miss a whole lot. There is a difference. What it says, let it live up to what it says. Then you'll be all right. You won't be led off astray. At any rate, he offered him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. Abraham rose up early, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come hither to you, come again to you. Now I want you to notice this verse I just stopped at. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Wow. Isn't that something? Now there's faith.
Amen.
There's faith that if I kill him, God will raise him up. That if I offer him, God will raise him up. Because God's already told me all my blessings, all my future, the blessing of the world lies in this son. Isn't that something?
Amen.
I and the lad will come again to you. That's beautiful to me. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Wow. Let me tell you what. God's got a lamb. Look at this verse. And this is another verse that just, you can really just look at it several ways. Verse 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now think about that in two different ways. Okay, you can think about that. God will provide for himself a lamb. Or you can think of it, God will provide himself a lamb. And it's right both ways. It's right both ways. Right here in this instance, he's going to provide a lamb, that's a ram that's over in the bushes, caught with his horns. You ever driven down the highway out in the country? Because I drive the country every day. And you ever seen these goats? They get their horns hooked up in the fences. They can't get out. Sometimes they got to tear that fence loose. Now, I have seen a deer hit a fence enough times to bust through it. Did my garden. I got a spot in my garden. And that was a doe. Then she wanted out, and she wanted out at that spot instead of the gate. And she busted right through that fence. I don't know how much she hurt herself. I didn't see her. You know, I mean, she walked off all right. But that's pretty tough. And they get those horns caught. Did you know deer have died, bucks in rutting season, locking their horns together and couldn't get them loose? And both of them die. Because they can't eat, they can't do anything. They're locked in there. Well, that ram is over there. Yes, God did provide himself a lamb. A ram caught in the bushes. He took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Do you reckon he learned something when he messed up with Ishmael? I think he did. He loved Ishmael. Now listen, you talk about a hurt. Abraham went through one tremendous hurt about 15 years before. Because he had not acted on faith, he had helped God out, he had to improve God's way, make sure God could get it done. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you find something that's the will of God, the Word of God, don't you compromise on it. You live by it. I had a woman. She had a husband that was into drugs. I personally saw him through 5 rehabs. And one time she told me, she says, I have been ready to divorce him so many times. She said, but I read in my Bible that God hates putting away. He said, the only reason why I'm with him is my Bible says God hates putting away. I like that. I like that. That's what the Bible says. Can you live by it? Well, Abraham's doing his best to live by it. He took the knife to slay his son. The angel Lord called him out of heaven. He said, here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham has got to be one of the greatest examples of faith, even with his failure concerning Hagar and Ishmael and all of that situation there where his faith failed him. But his faith didn't fail him here. He took up the knife. His boy is bound. He took up the knife. He's going to slay him. He must have been determined to do it because the angel said, stop. I know now that you love me. I know now that you believe me. I know now that you... You see, sometimes God doesn't answer some of your prayers because it's better for you if he doesn't. I didn't give my kids everything they asked for. Well, one reason was I never was rich enough. My kids could have demanded the Treasure Island or something, you know. But no, I didn't, just because we had so much money, so it had to be parceled out. And boy, my wife was a scrounger. She knew how to save money. She knew how to buy and feed us. And she would send me to the store, and I would ruin her budget for the month. Every time she sent me to the store, she'd be complaining. Because the kids would say, can I have that? Yeah, sure. Can I have that? Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. And by the time I got home, she said, I don't have any money left for the rest of the month. Softy of a daddy, you know. Well, I've always been a spendthrift. My daddy would say, you spent all that money, what you got left? What do you got that come back from that money? You worked all that time, got all that money, you went on that big date and spent it all. What do you got for it? Nothing. He kept trying to get sense in my head. I'm not sure how much he got, but praise the Lord. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, Abraham has a whole lot of sons. He got Ishmael. He got Isaac. And after Sarah died, he had a concubine named Keturah. He's probably about 150 years old, and she's probably 16. And she produced a bunch of sons. And every one of those sons, he gave them a piece and sent them away. When they got a certain age, he gave them something, sent them away. Sent them away from Isaac. He just got one son that the blessing is going to come through. He just got one son that's going to be the heir, the progenitor of Jesus Christ. Just one. He can't count Ishmael and he can't count the sons of Keturah. This is his only son, Isaac. That's where the blessings come from. Do you know, you got some things that are only going to go one way. Yeah, God's got you in a certain place, and I don't care what you think about it. He's got you there for a reason. And when he gets you there, he's going to get what he wants out of you. He's trying to make you like Christ. What's your absolute perfect goal as a Christian? To be like Christ. Well, we're all of us pretty far short of that. But he's got us in places trying to work on certain things. I don't know what he's doing with you. I just know what he did with me. And boy, he didn't let me off the hook. Never did. And, like I said, I learned who was boss. And it wasn't me. I always thought I ought to be boss, but God said different. No, 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 I'm boss. You're just a little flunky. Why don't you go try to teach the word plain and simple, huh? I better get to moving or I won't teach it much. What about Isaac being a type of Christ? Well, both were sons of promise. Christ was a son of promise. Christ is the son that fulfills prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, year after year after year, down through a couple of thousand years. We're talking from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then on down through the tribes, year after year after year. Yes, sir, Christ was the son of a promise. Well, was Isaac the son of a promise? I guess he was. In fact, God was so slow in doing the promise that Abraham lost his faith and decided he had to help God out and take Hagar. And sure enough, she produced a son, and Abraham said, I got my son. And for about 15 years, he really enjoyed that son. And he even pleaded with God, let Ishmael live before you. But you don't understand. Your plans aren't God's plans. Get this in your head. Your plans are not God's plans. He doesn't have to fulfill your plans. He's going to fulfill his plans because they're going to make the right thing, no matter what it looks like to you. Both were sons of promise. Christ was promised to a virgin. Isaac was promised to Abraham when he was 100 years old. And his wife was 90. And he already had another son. Miraculous birth. Mary was a virgin. I'm sorry it wasn't some German officer, like some people say. No, she was a virgin. There's one virgin birth. That's a very unusual thing, a virgin birth. That's an unusual thing. You call that a miracle. And Christ was a miracle.
Amen.
He was a virgin born. And she had other children by her husband Joseph after Christ was born. The Bible tells you this she did. Believe it. But you see, he was the only son that would fulfill the promise. And Jesus Christ, you remember there was a first Adam. And everybody that came out of the first Adam had this seed of death in them. So now we have a new Adam. A new progenitor of a race. And everybody that has his blood has eternal life.
Amen.
All in Adam die, all in Christ shall be made alive. Okay, a type of Christ, yes, miraculous birth. All hope is in him, he inherits all. Christ comes through him. Now this is Isaac. All of his hope is not in any of the other sons he's born. No matter how much he liked them. No matter what characters they had. No matter how well they obeyed him. It all comes through Isaac. Because that's what God decided. It was God's plan. He knew what he was doing. Now, Abraham's willingness to sacrifice him is just a picture of God's willingness to sacrifice Christ. I heard a song one time that this is where God learned it. I don't think so. I believe this is where God put a type in. He was crucified before the foundation of the world, before Adam was created. And by Adam came death. There was no death before Adam. So I'm sorry when they start talking about all these other worlds that used to be here. I don't believe it. I don't understand. There's some things I can't answer. I don't know a whole lot of things about the dinosaurs and all of that stuff like that. But bless your heart, this is the first earth right now we're on. And in Revelation 22, it'll say this first earth is going to disappear. And a new one coming in. That's the way I see it anyway. All right. How about his sacrifice? Abraham's willingness to sacrifice him because he believed that God would raise him up from the dead. Now, you talk about an increase in faith. That's a tremendous increase in faith between Ishmael and Isaac. You see, in Ishmael, he's got to help him out. Sarah's still barren. She's 90 years old. So he helps God out and gets himself into a mess. That's what you're going to get when you help God out. Just take God for what he says. Do what he tells you to do. And if it costs you something, praise God. All of my sufferings have not been anywhere near all of my blessings. I don't know about you. That old song, Count Your Many Blessings, that's a worthwhile song to know. Because that's the truth. Start counting your blessings next time you start feeling down. You big dummy. You've been blessed so many ways. Good night. All right, Abraham's willingness to sacrifice him makes him a type of Christ. Being raised from the dead, it says that it's like Isaac was raised from the dead. He was ready to sacrifice him. He's raised from the dead. That's a type because Christ is raised from the dead. 3 days, and I'm sorry, 3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights later, Christ is raised from the dead. You can't get a Good Friday in there. Doesn't work. And then God will provide himself a lamb. That's what God did. He became the lamb. The lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Isn't that beautiful? I'll tell you something else that they're like. In his marriage, the bride had never seen Isaac. He's 38, 39, 40-year-old man. And here's this young bride coming from a long ways away. She hadn't seen him. She's heading towards a marriage. Well, have you seen Christ? The church is the bride. We're heading to a marriage. And while we're at the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding, and then coming back to return 7 years later, all hell's breaking loose on earth. It's Jacob's trouble. It's Jacob's trouble. Not the church's trouble.
Amen.
I said the other night, you don't take your bride and put her through a lot of suffering so that she can be a purified bride. She's already pure. She's pure by the blood of Christ. She can't get any purer. No suffering could add to it at all. Be like me taking me a little paintbrush and try to patch up my car. I can't do it the same way they do it. They just do it better. Well, that's a pretty poor illustration. The bride took the word of an unnamed servant. That's the Holy Spirit. The bride traveled a long way across the desert. Well, we go through the travel of our life, don't we? The bride was finally married to him. Yes, praise the Lord. The bride represents the church. The unnamed servant represents the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to look at Hebrews 11:17. I got 3 minutes to do a bunch of verses. Well, I probably won't make it, but here's what we see in the New Testament. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He was as good as dead in Abraham's mind. I will slay him, because God can raise him from the dead. And God said, this is where my seed comes through. This is where the world is blessed. Do you see a type? Do you understand how Isaac is a type of Christ? It's a beautiful type. And there are many types in the Bible. Just don't be making any up. We don't need any more. Okay? God bless you. We'll take up something next week.